Bhagavad Gita, 2nd chapter, verse 20. Contents of the Gita summarized. So, is this the 5th day you've heard this verse? Or the...
Yeah.
For those of you who are coming every day, it is the 5th day that we people have been discussing this verse. And it will be also tomorrow?
I think so, but you lost the Master Avatar, so if I...
Okay. So, give me your last chance to hear this verse. Be attentive. You have your chance all this week. So now we are going to again speak on verse 20. And you are the soul. Naja yate ri yate vakamachin. Naja yate ri yate vakamachin. Nayam bhuta bhavita vanabhuya. Nayam bhuta bhavita vanabhuya. Ajodit jasa svatoyam purana.
Having come into being,
While we talk, we'll come to thee. Va, or, na, not, puyaha, or is again coming to thee. Ajha, I'm born. Nitya, eternal. Shashvatah, permanent. Ayam, this. Puraha, the oldest. Na, never. Hanyate, is killed. Hanyamane, being killed. Sharire, the body. For the soul, there is neither birth nor death at any time. He has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. He is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, and quite evil. He is not slain when the body is slain. So I'm going to read the prayer part, but not all at once, because I'm sure you've been hearing it all at once in the last few days. So we're going to read it part by part. It's a bit of a long prayer part, so we'll read part at a time and discuss each part as it comes, because there are many parts to this prayer part. So let me read the beginning of the prayer part. Qualitatively, the small atomic fragmental part of the Supreme Spirit is one with the Supreme. He undergoes no changes like the body. Sometimes the soul is called the steady or kuta star. The body is subject to six kinds of transformations. It takes its birth from the womb of the mother's body, remains for some time, grows, produces some effects, gradually dwindles, and at last vanishes into oblivion. The soul, however, does not go through such changes. Prabhupada explains that this material world, of course, in Bhagavad Gita also explains, it's like a banyan tree. But not just a banyan tree, an upside down banyan tree. Sri Prabhupada gives the example, suppose somebody holds you upside down. How will you feel? How long can you tolerate being held upside down? So here we are in this world, and we're being held upside down. The world is upside down. Up is down, and down is up. Especially if you go to the west. So you feel very uncomfortable. Why does the soul feel uncomfortable in this world? Here it says, because the soul is kutastha, does not change. But in this world, everything is changing. So we don't like change. The soul, why don't we like change? Because for the soul, there is no birth. Therefore, we don't like birth. For the soul, there is no death. Therefore, we don't like death. For the soul, there is no disease. Therefore, we don't like disease. And for the soul, there is no old age. So therefore, we don't like old age. So the purport says, the soul is not born, but because he takes on a material body, the body takes its birth. The soul does not take birth there, and the soul does not die. Anything which has birth also has death. And because the soul has no birth, he therefore has no past, present, or future. So there is past, present, and future for the body. But for the soul, there's no past, present, or future. Do you ever think of that? No past, present, or future for the soul, and that's you. So if you're thinking about past, present, or future, then you're thinking about your body. It's not about you. It is eternal, ever-existing, and primeval. That is, there's no trace in history of his coming into being. Under the impression of the body, we seek the history of birth, etc., of the soul. So, history. What is the history of this body? Did you ever think about the history of this body? It doesn't begin with this birth, but we have taken so many bodies as this soul. And actually, at one point in the history of our wanderings in this material world, we have taken birth as a fish. Do you all remember when you were a fish swimming in the ocean or swimming in a river and eating the plankton or whatever the fish eat? And then at one point we were a tree standing in the heat of the summer, in the cold of the winter, in the rain. Do you remember when you were a tree? This is a very long history of coming into this material world. At one point we were also an insect, biting people, mosquito. One of those grasshoppers, like about a week ago in the samadhi, or 2 weeks ago, jumping all over people, jumping everywhere. You were a grasshopper, you were a moth, we were a fly eating garbage. We were a bird, a parrot. Do we remember these birds? No. But this is the history of our journey in this material world. This is our history. This includes, our history includes all the species, 8,400,000 species of life. And at one point we were a lion, prowling the jungle, looking for animals to eat. At one point we were a monkey, jumping from tree to tree. Do we remember? No, we don't remember these births. So this is the history. This is the history of our wanderings in this material world. But for the soul, there is no history. Actually, history. If you think about history in this world, it's very, very difficult to understand. Dr. Goswami made a very interesting comment about the difference between fiction and history. Does everybody know what is fiction? That means stories that people write, popular bestsellers. And so he said that in fiction, the names are wrong, but the stories are right. But in history, the names are right, but the stories are wrong. So anyway, history, so much history is there, but everyone has a different view of what is history. The American Indians have one view, the American settlers have another view. And the British people who came to India have one view of India, Indian history, and the Indians have another view. So who is right? What is the real history? That we do not know. So there is no history of the soul. So we don't have to worry. But the birth of the body is very troublesome. And the soul in the body actually suffers because he identifies with this birth. In the womb of the mother, and the worms are biting, and the mother eats very hot food, and then we get burned. So this is the history of this life in this body. For the soul, it begins with suffering in the womb. Then after birth, we come out, and again we suffer. Things are biting us, and the mother thinks we have a stomachache, and she gives us bitter medicine. So much suffering is there. And we become a teenager, and don't know who we are, and try to just have and enjoy. And so it is, and then we have to go to school, of course, on top of it. So that is just suffering. The soul is suffering by identifying with the body. But for the soul, there is no school. There is no suffering like this. But because we're attached to the body, then we suffer through all these different changes. So then disease, gallstones, typhoid. One of my god sisters, I can't remember her name, Moksha Lakshmi. She came in the plane to her home country, UK, and she happened to have the flu, which nowadays is very bad if you come into an airport. So she was quarantined in her house until they figured out what she had. So this is now disease. Even if you don't have the disease, you suffer. And old age. Prabhupada says in the purport about old age, let's see. So there is no trace in history of his coming into being, the soul. It is eternal, ever existing and primeval. No trace in history of his coming into being. Under the impression of the body, we seek the history of birth of the soul. The soul does not at any time become old, as the body does. The so-called old man, therefore, feels himself to be in the same spirit as in his childhood or youth. The changes of the body do not affect the soul. The soul does not deteriorate like a tree, nor anything material. The soul has no byproduct, either. Byproducts of the body, namely children, are also different, individual souls. And owing to the body, they appear as children of a particular man. The body develops because of the soul's presence, but the soul is neither offshoots nor change. Therefore, the soul is free from the six changes of the body. So old age, those of you who are over 50 or over 60, how many of you are over 50 here? Yeah, okay, well, almost half the room. Less than it was only a few, okay. Yeah, so we know, we're at old age, we never thought we would become old. We always thought we could just run around and do as we like. And sometimes, even now, we forget that we can't run around and do as we like. And we get dizzy even climbing the stairs. So this is old age, this is old age. You wake up and the pain shifts from a different part of the body to the other every day. And so old age, why don't we like old age? Because it's against our nature. We're meant to be eternally young, not older than 16, and maybe even younger than 16 in the spiritual world. And we don't like death. Death is all around us. Just yesterday I saw some dead thing, I couldn't identify it. Our dog, our next door neighbor's dog, they found it. So that was good because it wasn't very nice. So that is all around us. As Yudhisthira said, the most wonderful thing is that people are dying. Everyone is dying, but people still think we will live forever. We think, yes, no, I will live. They will die. I will not get cancer. They will get cancer. I was just reading a book. One out of two people will get cancer now, in the United States anyway. Half of the people will get cancer. But nobody thinks it will be me. Nobody thinks I will die. So do we ever think that someday we will be going to the Jamuna, sorry, I'm not in my book, that we'll be going to the Jamuna and we'll be the one that's being carried on that palanquin to the cremation? Do you ever think like that? And it'll be the last cremation we'll ever have to attend. It'll be our last cremation and we won't have to worry about how we're going to get back to the temple, because nature already have arranged our ride home, wherever we're going to go. So that will be, but it is going to happen. Srila Prabhupada was very safe in his old age, and he said, don't think it won't happen to you. But when we're young, and even when we're old, and we still have energy, we think, no, that's very far away. Why should I think about these things? So one devotee's mother, she got Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's disease means you don't remember anything from 1 minute to the next. So every time she would talk to her son, it was like she was talking to a stranger, like she was meeting him for the first time. So her last words to her son, when she left her body, was, it was so nice to have met you. So it's interesting, we go through life and we meet people, and even our family members. But in our next life, they'll be complete strangers to us. We won't know. We won't recognize them. They'll be strangers. So we meet. We meet people, we meet our family, we meet everybody in this life, but ultimately, we will go on. We will move on. And we take our different forms, we take our different relationships, but it's all based on the body. So the soul is full of knowledge, but unfortunately it's forgetful. Katha Upanishad will be the next two paragraphs in short. We also find a similar passage which reads, Najayate Hriyate Vavipasyan Dayam Kutasyan Nakubhukasyan Vajodita Shashato Yamparado Nahanyate Hanyalane Shadehide. The meaning and purport of this verse is the same as in Bhagavad Gita, but here in this verse there is one special word, Vipasyan, which means learned or with knowledge. So Gita is called Gita Upanishad. Therefore, the Gita verse is very similarly. They're very similar to the Upanishads. Many of the verses are similar to Upanishad verses. They're taken from the Upanishad. So this particular verse was taken from the Upanishad. It's very similar to Katha Upanishad. The soul is full of knowledge or full always of consciousness. Therefore, consciousness is the symptom of the soul. Even if one does not find the soul within the heart, where he is situated, one can still understand the presence of the soul simply by the presence of consciousness. Sometimes we do not find the sun in the sky owing to clouds, or for some other reason, but the light of the sun is always there. We are convinced it is therefore daytime. As soon as there is a little light in the sky early in the morning, we can understand the sun is in the sky. Similarly, since there is some consciousness in all bodies, whether man or animal, we can understand the presence of the soul. This consciousness of the soul is, however, different from the consciousness of the Supreme, because the Supreme Consciousness is all knowledge, past, present, and future. The consciousness of the individual soul is prone to be forgetful. When he is forgetful of his real nature, he obtains education and enlightenment from the superior lessons of Krishna. But Krishna is not like the forgetful soul. If so, Krishna's teachings of Bhagavad Gita would be useless. So Prabhupada is explaining the difference between the soul and the super soul. But before that, he talked about how the soul, we can understand the sun in the sky, and then we can see that it's daytime. So in the same way, we can understand how the soul is in the body by consciousness. So there is also a very nice verse from Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, 20th chapter, description of autumn. There it says, during the rainy season, the moon was prevented from appearing by the covering of the clouds. So sometimes at night you look up at the moon, you can't really see. You see the clouds are covering the moon. But still, the clouds are illumined by the moon. So you see some clouds, some you don't see, some are illumined, some are very bright clouds. So that means the moon is there. So we see some bodies in this world. And when there is consciousness, then the body is moving, the body is talking. So it's illumined by consciousness, but it's covered by this false ego, which prevents the bright shining of the soul to come through. So again, in that purport, Prabhupada explains that during rainy season, we cannot see the moon because it's covered by clouds, but they're radiant with the glow of the moon's own rays. So in our existence, we cannot see the soul because our consciousness is covered by false ego. But it is our own consciousness that illumines the false ego. So we know that the soul is there because we're talking, we're moving, we're doing things. We're eating, we're sleeping, we're making, defending. And hopefully we're doing more than that. And we know there is consciousness. So as the Gita describes, the energy of the soul is consciousness. And when the consciousness is coming through the screen of false ego in this body, it appears as dull material consciousness. So prayers of personified Vedas in Bhagavatam, they say, unless one becomes your devotee, he may be breathing, but he's not alive. So there's another definition of what it means to be alive. It's not simply consciousness. Prabhupada used to always say, there's no meaning to shine unless you put sun, sunshine. There must be sun in front of the shine to understand what is sunshine. So in the same way, there's no meaning to consciousness unless you put Krishna in front of it. Krishna, consciousness, means you have consciousness. If there's no Krishna in front, then you're no better than a dull stone or a tree, or a hog, dog, camel, or ass. So this is Bhagavatam's teachings. If you simply breathe and go through life with forgetfulness of Krishna, you're no better than the bellows. Now I don't know if they still have those in India. The bellows of a blacksmith, maybe in the villages. And if you simply live without Krishna, your long duration of life is no better than a tree. And if you eat without Krishna consciousness, your voracious eating is no better than eating of dogs and hogs. So this is below human life. So the purpose of life is to realize that we are the soul. Krishna is trying to teach Arjuna that we are eternal. We are, Prabhupada says at the beginning, the small atomic fragmental part of the Supreme Spirit is one with the Supreme. So what is our size? 1/10,000th tip of a hair. One time I was giving a class and somebody asked me, why is it the tip of the hair and not the top of the hair? Interesting question. I said, well, the tip must be smaller. That's why we're the tip of the earth. We're so small. But this little soul, from this soul comes this whole huge body, much bigger than thousands of the hair. So Srila Prabhupada explained that there are, we have heard the Paramanubhava theory, the theory of the atomic theory. The modern scientists also have this theory that everything is made up of atoms. So Srila Prabhupada takes this theory a step further and says there are spiritual atoms and there are material atoms. So the material atoms are formed because there is a spiritual atom inside the body. Then if there is one spiritual atom, then all material atoms can take a shape and live and move. Otherwise, they have no form. And similarly, Srila Prabhupada said, if we go to the spiritual world, then this small spiritual atom, who we are, the soul, can form a spiritual body on top of it. Because we don't go to Krishna without a body. We go in a spiritual body to Krishna. So this is the good news. The good news is we're not only soul. Prabhupada is going a bit further than Krishna in this verse, as he usually does. Krishna is just telling the basics. You are not this body, you are soul, you are spiritual. Prabhupada is saying, not only are we soul, but we're part of the Supreme Soul. We're part of Krishna. So Prabhupada, even from the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, the second chapter, where Krishna is only giving preliminary knowledge of the soul, Srila Prabhupada is giving us knowledge of Krishna. This is very good news. So we'll finish the purport. Last paragraph. There are two kinds of souls, namely the Mayu particle soul, Manu Atma, and Super Soul, Vimu Atma. This is confirmed in Kapila Upanishad. Anor Adiyam Matomahiyam Matajantor Nito Mahayam Tamakatupashati Vitta Shoko Tatu Pasaram Mahimanam Atmana. Both the Super Soul, Paramatma, and Atomic Soul, Jivatma, are situated on the same tree of the body within the same hearts of the living being. And only one who has become free from all material desires, as well as limitations, can, by the grace of the Supreme, understand the glories of the soul. Now here's a very interesting sentence. Krishna is the fountainhead of the Super Soul, also, as it will be disclosed in the following chapters, and Arjuna is the atomic soul, forgetful of his real nature. Therefore, he requires to be enlightened by Krishna or by his bona fide representative, the spiritual master. Now, Krishna is the fountainhead of the super soul. What's a fountainhead? You know what a fountain is, right? It's all the spray is coming out. The fountainhead is the place where the fountain is coming out, the head of the fountain. Where everything is coming out. So Krishna is the head. He's the origin. Everything, all the incarnations. So here, fountainhead of super soul. Super soul's coming out, incarnation's coming out, jivatma's coming out, but he's fountainhead. He's the origin. Interesting words Prabhupada uses here, fountainhead. If you think about it. So one time, Srila Prabhupada was lecturing in Mexico, and he was lecturing to some theosophists. These are philosophers. Philosophers. So, they asked Prabhupada the question, why is there anything? In other words, what's the purpose of anything? And Prabhupada answered in one word. Does anybody know that conversation? Or can tell? Yes? Yes, ananda. This is why there is anything. Why do people drive their cars so fast to go to work? Not for ananda in the work, but for ananda when they get the money and go home. For ananda. Why do they do science? Why do they go to school? It's all for ananda, for pleasure. So we are searching for love, we're searching for pleasure, but in the wrong place, in these bodies. You become attached, but one day these bodies will leave us, and our house will leave us. The houses are leaving people in America now very quickly. My brother just went bankrupt, and he's losing my father's house and his house, both. So even before you die, you may lose everything. In these economic crisis days, when I was in Denmark, one-fifth of the businesses have finished. They've gone bankrupt. They're just finished. But they're not putting it in the newspapers, so the people won't stop buying, and they won't get panicked, and won't take their money out of the bank. And in Denmark, people take one pill called the happy pill. So that they forget their miseries And there's about 3 million people, I think, there are 3 million, about one-sixth of them are taking the happy pill. So they think they're happy. So, but as soon as they feel the death wear off, then they're unhappy. So this is not going to help at the time of death. We have to find real happiness. We have to find real Ananda. And that is in connection with Krishna. So Krishna is trying to bring Arjuna to this platform of soul. Understand you're spiritual. You're not, and actually Prabhupada is bringing us to a higher level, that you're not separate from Krishna. This is the cause of all suffering. That when we disconnect, or we see things disconnected from Krishna, then we suffer. Everything's connected to Krishna. Only our conception is disconnected. This is the problem. In one scripture, it's called the Talmud. I don't know which religion this is from. I saw a beautiful quote that somebody put on the internet. We don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. So we really don't see reality properly. We see it how we think we see it. We don't see how it is. Just like a businessman, if he goes to the forest, he will think, oh, if I cut all this wood down, I'll take so much money. I'll sell it to the presses, I'll sell it to the furniture people. I can make so much money. He'll just look at the forest and he'll say, oh, money. He'll turn it into money. If you see a young boy or a young girl that go to the forest, they'll be thinking, maybe I'll meet a beautiful tourist in here, a woman tourist or something in this forest, or when sightseeing. They're always thinking of how to meet the opposite sex. Or a yogi goes to the forest, he thinks, peaceful place for meditation. I will stay here away from the rest of the crowds. A devotee goes to the forest, he thinks, nice place for a japa retreat. We should have a japa retreat in this forest. Oh, reminds me of Vrindavan. Oh, this is Krishna's energy. Wow. This is, if I see the beauty of this forest, then I can understand how beautiful is the creator of this forest. So, as you are, that's how you see.
What's the Sanskrit?
Atmavan Manitejikat. Yes. Atmavan Manitejikat. But one thing everyone has in common, except the devotees, the center is how I see things. How I view the world, how the world treats me, how I am the center, and how everything is revolving around me. Get up in the morning, I'm going to start the show. And how the day go depends on how the things happen to me, not how things happen to Krishna. Our main concern is for ourselves. This is for, not, I'm not talking about devotees. Devotees are different. They're thinking, oh, I can't wait to see Krishna. My lucky time, I will chant with the devotees. I can't wait to pick up my beads and start chanting. Devotees are different. Their center is Krishna. How beautiful is Krishna today? What he's wearing. So, but sometimes we put Krishna is there, but we forget about the devotees. We also have to think about the devotees too and respect Krishna's devotees. Not only should we see Krishna, connection to Krishna, everything should be connected to Krishna's devotees. Like one day I was in Guru Puja, and I was standing in the back, not near the deities. But behind me, somebody came charging. And you know, you don't see them coming, but they charge and hit you in the back. And then she charged, there was a young girl and her mother, and then they charged the lady in front of me. And then she didn't see one Prabhu was offering obeisance, and she tumbled over and did a somersault. So it was kind of funny, but actually, no, we have to also respect the devotees. But at least she was eager to see Krishna. That was the good part. You should see the good in everything. But we do have to beware of Vaishnava Parat here in Vrindavan. So the soul is covered. And I was just reading it again in the prayers of Santa 5 minutes, that's what I'm studying for next year's course. And there's described 5 conceptions or 5 coverings or 5 koshas of the soul. Anamaya, Pranamaya, Gyanamaya, Vijnanamaya, and Anandamaya. So the first one, Anamaya, is when all you see is food. You look at the world and you think, what am I going to eat in my next meal? Or what will be for lunch? Or what did I eat yesterday? Or how will I eat? What will I eat? So this is, the babies are in this conception, and some adults also. I remember Dadu, Of course, he had other concessions as well. Our dear Dadu has now passed away, but he was in one of my Gita classes. So I was asking everyone, okay, what's your favorite devotional service? Everyone was saying Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. Dadu said, Prasada Sevanam. So he really liked Prasada. That's okay, we can, you know, we go to Godhead, the prophet said. So then that's Anamaya, receive food, and Pranamaya is sleeping, mating, tending, and eating. So sleeping here might be a problem in Vrindavan with the loudspeakers. And even the monkeys, if they spend the night at your house and all night party the monkeys are having, you can't sleep very well. So sleeping is sometimes a problem. Pranamaya and Gyanamaya is the level where you have some philosophical speculation. You're on the level of your mental. You're really mental. You're in your mind, thinking, feeling, willing all the time. So that's Gyanamaya. And here in Vrindavan, it becomes a thousand times more. So if you're just a little bit crazy, it becomes a thousand times. So Gyanamaya, these are all material platforms. And then Vijnanamaya, this is what is Krishna preaching here. You are not this body, you are a spirit soul. You should go beyond the bodily concept of life. So we have been hearing, those of you who have read Bhagavad Gita or have attended the classes from verse 11 up until this verse today, we have been hearing how we are the soul and we are not this body. Now, here's the question. One of those verses, Krishna gave an instruction to Arjuna. And this instruction is the realization or the behavior, actually, of a person who has understood, I am not this body. So if you understand your spiritual being, if you understand you're not this body, what is your behavior? And Krishna tells you in one of these verses, between 11 and 20, he tells one thing, how he tells Arjuna, just behave like this. Vijira, Sacha, Vijira, next verse. Is it the same verse or the next verse? No, next verse. You know the next verse? Yeah. No, in between. You went two ahead. That's his verse. Yeah, it's Mata Sparsha. So what's the instruction?
Tolerate.
That is the behavior of someone who has realized he's not this body. Because there are principles here, but it's not simply theoretical knowledge. You have to apply it to our lives. So how to apply all this knowledge that I'm not this body, that I'm soul? And Vrindavan is a very good place to apply this knowledge. Tolerate. Tolerate the heat, tolerate the cold, tolerate the lack of electricity, the monkeys, the loudspeakers. So much to tolerate. You have so much practice you can do here of Bhagavad Gita practice, experiential learning, how to tolerate. But there's something that's even worse than the monkeys and all these, the heat and the cold, happiness, distress. There's something that's the most difficult thing to tolerate. Anybody know what that is? Your worst enemy. Who's your worst enemy?
Mind.
Yes, mind. The mind will tell you so many things. The mind is what we have to tolerate. And if we can do that, then the higher levels of devotional service are open to us. Thomas, what is that? Chinava Misuni China, Puronima Sahishina, Amanima Manadena, Kirtani Asya. If we can tolerate, then we can chant Kirtanyasadhari, and we can appreciate the kirtan as well, if we are in a humble state of mind. Otherwise, it becomes boring, or it becomes a torture, or we just don't get thinking, oh, when is it going to end? But if we are actually in the devotional frame of mind, we're tolerating and we're actually chanting with our heart, then we can go to the level of Nisha. So then we come to the last level, Anandamaya. Anandamaya, Pranamaya, Gyanamaya, Vijnanamaya. Finally, Anandamaya, bliss. We connect with Krishna in the form of the holy name, in the form of the deities. Even when we're not in the temple, we can practice seeing the connection, seeing Krishna in everything. And actually, it's not just to see him in everything. We have to see Krishna in all the events, everything that happens to us. Every activity, every thought, influencing our lives. Yesterday I came home, and there was no water in the house. So, at first, and then the cleaning lady had used all the water, which I had very carefully saved the whole day in case there was no water. So my first thing was to be angry, but then I thought, uh-oh, now I'm teaching tolerance, so I have to see this. This is, somehow this is Krishna's mercy. So I went, I had to go bring some water, and I was really happy. I couldn't carry it. Halfway along the way, we met one devotee, another Vrindavan, and she had one big, huge boy with her called Hanuman. And Hanuman carried my buckets for me. But anyway, so it's Krishna's, everything is Krishna's mercy. We have to see that in Vrindavan. It's Vrindavan Dham. We have to see Krishna's mercy everywhere. Krishna's the only joy, Krishna's the only provider. We have to see the connection. And if we're disconnected, if we go and we see everything disconnected, we see the bad things, then we become depressed. Then depression will hit us. Oh, there's no hope. I'm so low, everybody's so low. No, we have to see the positive. And when the last class Prabhupada gave on Kamashi, Prabhupada was saying, we have to make this a honeycomb society. We have to see the good in the devotees. But we're never disconnected from Krishna, we just have to see the connection. And the easiest way is the holy name. Lord Chaitanya has made it very easy. We can chant the holy name and be happy. So I better stop, it's getting late. Any questions? Or comments? Yes,
Prabhupada. I assure everyone that our letter Dadu was not just highly attracted to Krishna, but also highly attracted to hearing and chanting.
Yes. Dadu would come to every single class, morning and evening.
Every class, you'll be the first one here. Not usually the last one, sometimes the last one.
Yeah, Dadu was very attracted to hearing.
Very attracted to hearing and also serving the devotees.
And serving the devotees, delivering the mail. Sometimes he would keep it for months until we came back from the foreign country. Oh, here's your letter. I was waiting for you to come back. That's our Dadu. There's a question back here.
The Christmas paper that was sold. How does it come into being? And if it does not come into being, it suggests that the spiritual body is, our spiritual body is eternally existing. It's not something that develops.
The soul is eternally existing. And Srila Prabhupada, I just read a lecture where Prabhupada described that the soul is atomic and that is, he is eternal. In our relationship, of course, with Krishna is eternal. But when the soul is in this world, then he builds a material body. And when he's in the spiritual world, he expands the spiritual body. I just read that before I came here actually today, some lecture or explanation of the conversation Prabhupada was saying that. So that's all I can say, whatever Prabhupada said. He said we develop the spiritual body. Because in the Brahman, then the spiritual body is not developed if you go there. But again, then the spiritual body is also eternal. So it's eternal in the sense that it's there in the seed form. It's in the seed form. But in the spiritual world, then it's fully developed. So now we're going to be channeling the water of the seed. So we can develop it even while we're here in this world. Even though we have this body, we can still develop our spiritual body. It's not that because we have a material body, we can't develop it. But it won't be fully, we won't be fully manifest or fully in the Leela until we drop this body. We can go there to some extent. We can be there for, to some extent. Prabhupada could be there to full extent. For us, we're just developing. We're still developing. And if you see the stories in Bhagavatam of devotees who did become perfect and go to the spiritual world, like Guru Maharaj, as soon as he got on the airplane or he was like the airplane, then his spiritual body developed. He went in his same body, but then he developed into a spiritual body. So that's all the information I have. This is from Bhagavatam, from what Prabhupada said. spirit in that regard.
Yeah, and on other occasions, Prabhupada would say that we have spiritual senses, so that either just covered by material senses, or
that's
in the context
that's true.
In space of things. But from that verse, it would certainly seem that this sense is meant to be, because the use of the word development, it can be confusing in this way. Something didn't exist.
Right.
Or as a fact. So the soul being eternal, it's in the spiritual body.
You can say that it's uncovered. That the spiritual senses are there, but then they are being uncovered. And we can develop actually in the spiritual world in the sense of our relationship with Krishna. That develops also. It can increase. I mean, it's always increasing. So in that sense, we can develop. Yeah, it's better just to say covered. I need to say that. Anything else? Yes.
Yes. Speaking about chanting and also about the mantra, so maybe you could say a little bit more about that and how we can be freed up from the mind trip chatter and in our chanting be more coming from the hearts.
How can we become free from the mind and the chanting can come more from the heart? Srila Prabhupada has, well, Shastaka is a good help for that. We can meditate on Shishastaka before we chant, but actually the most important thing is just to be attentive to the name. Very, very attentive. And let the Holy Name do the work on you. If we try to put our conceptions and different things in, then we won't hear the name. We just have to really be very, very attentive, be present. Be present with Krishna. Krishna is coming in form of the Holy Name to be with us. So we have to be very conscious of His presence. When we're not chanting, we should be conscious to avoid the offenses, because the offenses are not so much while we're chanting, except being attentive. But most of the offenses happen when we're not chanting, like offending devotees or whatever, whatever. So preliminary work is during the day we avoid offenses. At night time we can prepare by praying and reading Krishna book before we sleep, or reading prayers to the Holy Name before we sleep, and then in the morning also be very eager to meet Krishna in the Holy Name and be very, very attentive. Try to hear every syllable, every mantra, and as we understand who we are in relationship to Krishna, we're very, very small, we're a child. As Prabhupada said, we should chant like a child crying for its mother. And so that is what Prabhupada advised us, how to chant. So the mood helps, and the understanding of who we are helps. That we are very small, very far from Krishna, and also we're in danger. When you're in danger, your chanting is very good, usually. If the airplane suddenly falls, or if you're on the road to Delhi and there's something coming head on and the driver's sleeping or he doesn't see it, and then you really chant. If a monkey jumps on your back, then you chant with your full being. And it really helps. They understand, they jump off. I was attacked once and in front of my house. I had some very nice prasadam for the devotees in Nepal, and I didn't want to give it to the monkeys. So, normally the process is the monkeys attack you, you scream and you drop the sweets and you run, but I wasn't going to give it to them. One jumped on my back, two were growling in front, and I just shouted Krishna as best, you know, like I was going to die. And they just backed off. If you have quality in chanting, then the presence of Vrindavan they give respect, even the monkeys. They respect quality chanting from the heart. And then you're going to die. Radhe also works. But I always chant Krishna. I chant Krishna. Radhe also works. I chant Radhe. Radhe or Krishna. The quality chanting, yeah, is the main thing is attention. If Krishna is here, Prabhupada says Krishna is coming in the form of the holy name. And he's saying, please accept me. Please accept me. So sometimes, you know, we're trying to chat, it's like trying to make a phone call. But the call, and the call may even go through to Krishna. And Krishna comes, but then our mind is busy. Because our mind is somewhere else. So we don't even realize that Krishna's there. He's just waiting to say something to us. You should listen to what Krishna has to say to you when you chant the holy name. Because when you chant, you connect with Super Soul. And Super Soul is a reservoir of intelligence. All of our intelligence is coming from Super Soul. So when you chant, then you connect. And when you connect, then he may say something to you. So if you're very attentive, then you can hear what he is saying to you when he's chanting. But that's the main thing, just be attentive. Actually, the two symptoms of the Namavasa platform. Namavasa means the clearing stage, that you're not chanting offensively. Two symptoms. One is that you are avoiding offenses, and second is that you are attentive. Very attentive. Nothing else matters when you're chanting your japa. Nothing can disturb you. Nothing can distract you while you're chanting your japa. And if you chant your japa like that, then your whole day goes like that. Yeah?
You say that we have to be attentive while chanting japa and mindful of avoiding offenses while we're not chanting.
Yeah, while you're chanting japa, you can't think of the offenses. It's during the day that you commit the offenses, except the inattentive chanting, the 11th one. But all the rest, it's, you know, blaspheming devotees, blaspheming scripture, not neglecting the order of the spiritual master. It's all before you chant. Unless you don't chant, then you're neglecting the order of the spiritual master. Yeah, it's happening the day before, mostly when you're not chanting, you're doing the offenses. And when you're chanting, there's only one offense which we need to concentrate on, that's inattentiveness. Just be attentive of chanting. And that one, from that one, all the others come. This is the main one, pramada, madness, intention. Yes, it works. It works. I tried it. I tried being attentive, and I got so much realization. I wrote a book that, and it's coming out. Very soon. Yes.
What brings the soul?
Last question. Maybe. We'll see, because we don't want to go over. Yeah?
What causes, like, the soul to cry for
What causes the soul to cry for Krishna? When the soul realizes it's in a dangerous position and needs help, and without Krishna, then he cannot do anything, he cannot take a step forward, he cannot help himself. When you understand the necessity of Krishna's help, then you cry. When you understand our predicament in this world, and then you cry, and how dangerous it is. And when you understand how death is very close, then old age is the warning of death. So when you understand that, then you cry for Krishna. When you understand how little you have advanced in this life and how far you have to go, then you start crying for Krishna. Yes? Okay, last.
Rasovaisa.
And so the holy name of the Lord is also Rasovaisa.
Right.
But we are not getting any rasa.
Okay, that is explaining Bhagavatam. Why are we not getting any rasa? In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is due to offenses. We are committing offenses to the holy name. And when we commit offenses to the holy name, we lose our taste. So you need to study the 10 offenses. They are recited in the morning. And figure out which one is causing you not to get a taste.
Actually, mind makes the offensive. Intentionally, I do not make any offensive.
Right.
But mind jumps and makes offensive.
Yes.
Without the knowledge.
Okay, well, then you need to chant more attentively. Okay, Hare Krishna, bless you.